guys, and welcome to Concentrated Podcast Presents Heralds of the MCU. I'm Maria, and I am joined, as always, by my two delightful co-hosts, Eric.
Morning.
And Manera.
Hey, guys.
I know that. I say that he's delightful, and he's like, good morning. That come on, man. You gotta keep up with the energy here, buddy.
I don't have to do shit. I've had a busy morning already.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, listen, guys, we're back to talk about the Disney Plus new series, Hawkeye, episode 3, titled Echoes. So as always, before we really jump in, I want to get first impressions. What did you guys think about this episode? And Manera, since your energy is exactly where I like it to be on a Saturday morning, I'm going to start with you.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was a little bit different from the first two, mainly because of Maya. I really enjoy her.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I cannot wait for her show. I can't wait. But I also like her as just a character, in that, you know, her and Kate have really good parallels, but I don't know. I feel like I like Maya more because, well, no, I feel like Maya at the end of the day knew her dad's fault even when she was little. Like, you know, when she's signing to him, I thought you said we'd have enough money so that I could go to the deaf school. Do mm-hmm. we not have enough money? You know, I don't think the wool was ever pulled over her eyes, whereas with Kate, I feel like she was blinded by a lot of her dad's faults.
She's also not spoiled like Kate is.
Right. Right. And so I like that in my little girls, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because when they grow up to be women, they're, to me, more realistic.
Yeah.
And so I really like that. And I know I probably shouldn't root for her because, you know, she seems to be an organized crime. But I do. I do root for her. And I hope that she gets everything that she deserves, which is, you know, riches and all the glory.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I really enjoy her.
What about you, Eric?
Yeah. No, I like the introduction to the character, since we last week they kind of just gave us a quick little glimpse. Mm-hmm. But this week the first 10 minutes is all about her and her mm-hmm. her upbringing. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, there's not much happened in this episode. It was a big chase mm-hmm. episode. And then we find out more about Hawkeye's his degrading hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I like that they kind of breezed over it in the second episode, where they were just like, I don't know when it happened, but I am around a lot of explosions and loud noises all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of in the place that both of you are, right? Like, as someone who has vehemently said that I think Thanos.
Yep. Olivia Newton-John and Thanos.
I've always thought that Thanos in principle was right. I got no problem rooting for a bad guy here and there. But the thing that, first off, can we talk about how she is drop-dead gorgeous, but in a very, like, not model way? Like, she's like one of those really naturally, I don't need to do a bunch of
very
stuff.
Very much so, yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's beautiful. But Eric's point about the 10-minute intro, I want them to do that for every character that you give us. Because at the end of the day, the only other place that I felt like, the only other thing that the MCU has done where I felt like they really did a good job of helping you understand how the quote unquote villain got to where they are was in mm-hmm. Shang-Chi, when we learned about his dad and you understood that there are complexities to this person. This person is not all bad or all good or what have you. And I think that the way that they did, you know, her introduction through the first part of this episode let you know, like, it's not necessarily that she's out here just being a criminal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are circumstances, there are reasons that she ended up where she is. And the relationship with her and her dad was just so cute. But
yeah.
Also, the other thing that stuck out to me in this episode, just kind of first impression, I really, really love the chemistry between the two Hawkeyes. I think that I think that they play very, very well off of each other. So, like, to your point about liking Maya more than Kate, which I can totally see and I agree with, until you factor in the thumb. Because the relationship with them two and how they're portraying it is one of the better, I think, relationships and partnerships that I've seen. Like, I felt like when we were watching Falcon and Winter Soldier, then Captain America and Winter Soldier, because we know the title changed, you got glimpses of that, and there were times that they played very well off each other. But it felt to me like the lift for that relationship was being done by Bucky. It didn't seem very mutual, but you still got that energy. And here, I think they both contribute really well to building that relationship and building that chemistry and having you vested in, like, their friendship, right? So I really enjoyed that.
I will say, like, for Kate, I do enjoy her kindness and her caringness to Hawkeye because he's her hero. And so, you know, yes, he will be very gruff with her, but, and she will take it in stride. She'll be like, well, I mean, I'm meeting my hero. Like, I don't care. you know?
I feel like she's starting to see the cracks in the armor of Hawkeye.
Definitely with that call.
And basically what his life entails. Like,
yes.
He's kind of a broken guy. He's always hurt.
Yeah. And so I feel like little by little, to Eric's point, she is coming to terms with, okay, so if this is what I want to do, this could be my future.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, the deafness. It's not being there for the family. Like, you know, she's watching him basically blow off his kids to save her.
Right. And it hurts him. Like, it genuinely very much hurts him. But the job is bigger.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. It hurts him, but it's what he has to do. So, Eric, you just said something about the deafness. And I think that this is a really good segue because the episode is titled Echoes. And I think that, you know, for folks that are not familiar with Maya's character, like, that's her name is Echo. Like, her...
moniker.
Yeah, thank you, Monica. I couldn't, I was going to say her hero name, but she's not a hero. Anyway, so I think we should start with her. And the deafness is huge because she sees it, I think, as a gift and not as a disability, a handicap, what have you. And so, like, when she realizes that Hawkeye is wearing a hearing aid, you know, she's like, you'd be better without it. Like, than with him in. And you can see him kind of looking at her like, maybe, but...
Well, I also like that they took the time to add that line where she I don't know what she signs to him, but he's like, no, I'm not deaf, I'm just hard of hearing. Because in the deaf community, there is a very big difference. And if we learned anything from our time at BlurredCon, when we talked to the young deaf woman, she was like, yeah, we don't like being called, you know, disabled or anything like that. We're deaf. But, you know, not everyone, like the actress, Alekua, I'm probably saying that wrong, Alekua Cox, who plays Maya, it was born deaf. So this is her, you know, she doesn't know the difference, unlike Hawkeye, who has lived with hearing his whole life and is now slowly going deaf.
I enjoy that she, like, you could see when she saw the hearing aid, get him, like, take off his restraint so that he can speak with him.
Yeah,
and
so
she gave
sign.
Him some sort of, like, respect. Like, he had respect from her. And when she was signing to him, the very first, when she started signing to him, you could see a mutual respect. And then when he wasn't able to sign and was reliant on that hearing aid, the respect went away and she was just sassy, like, you might want to get rid of that and, like, come with the winning team, ho. Basically. Basically.
Well, apparently they, I like the fact that Hawkeye didn't know sign language, like, off the break. He's still very bad at it. But apparently both Haley Steinfeld and your favorite thumb took the effort to try and learn a bit of ASL so that they could communicate with their co-star, you know, normally, you know, to her benefit as well, instead of having to work through interpreters.
And was it my heart, or was he a bitch? Was he a bit, like, shamed?
Oh, I thought, like, you said, was he a bitch? I was like, damn.
No. I mean, was he a bit shamed? Like, when he realized that she thought that he was much like her on her same level. He was kind of shamed into, no, that's not, I'm not, but I should be, I feel like.
I feel like he might have felt a level of shame that he hasn't put as much effort into not living with the hearing aid.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Because his kids are doing more than he is to learn sign language.
Little Nico looks tiny. He's the cutest. Oh my gosh. But yeah, and I think, like, to Jeremy Renner.
I love it.
This morning. To the thumb. Let's just, because it is what it is. Like, it's
unpredictable.
Most thumbs are not able to project a lot of emotion. And
it's because they depend on the other four fingers.
Right.
Exactly. I think to Manera's point, the face acting that happened mm-hmm. in that exchange was phenomenal. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, I thought it was a very well-written scene. I think that you learned everything you needed to learn about that dynamic within, because it was mm-hmm. a minute long.
Yeah.
And it was like, to me, for Hawkeye's development as a character, probably one of the biggest scenes we've seen so far this season.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I know where and we know Nathaniel from. Nathaniel Barton. Mm-hmm. He is the bad baby from the opening of The Quiet Place.
Oh,
he's the one that gets snatched up. I've seen those cheeks before and I was like, I know that baby. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm glad he's not getting snatched up here.
I know. He's safe in his mom's bosom.
He's safe at home.
You knew that thing made sounds. Don't make sounds.
You picked up those batteries all on your own little bits.
He had no hesitation. But, you know, kind of getting back to Maya, I think mm-hmm. as well, the relationship, and I kind of said it in my, like, first impressions.
Also, now that you mention it, yeah, that explains why he knows a little bit of ASL, because he's in that mm-hmm. movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The relationship connections with Maya and her father, and, like, from the very beginning, first off, I don't know that, I know the actor's face, I know I've seen him in other things.
Zane McLaren. I don't know if you guys did, like, I recommended and watched fucking Reservation Dogs. He plays Officer Big. And he's normally in a lot of serious roles, kind of like in Hawkeye, but he gets to stretch his legs and do comedy in Reservation Dogs, and he's one of my favorite characters. I was waiting for him to call someone shit-ass like he does on Reservation Dogs, but...
Not shit-ass.
Yeah,
he was in
really
Doctor Sleep. He was
Crawdaddy.
Yeah,
that's where...
Crawdaddy.
Crawdaddy.
That's where I remember him from, was Doctor Sleep. Also, Manera, did you catch that shade just now? If you got some
I told you. Listen... Oh, okay. He wanted us to pick it up, and I put it right down. He was also in Westworld.
Really good. Yeah, he was one of the Indians, mm-hmm. in air quotes, before somebody comes for me. Yes, he was one of the robots that was in the Cowboys and Indians thing.
He was also in Fargo, the 2015 series.
Mm. I'd have to figure out which season, because they're all
kindness
anthology.
That he has in his face.
Yeah.
And you and like in communicating with his daughter, like mm-hmm. it is the relationship that every dad should have with his little girl, because you could mm-hmm. see it's like, I want you to be the best at what you do. You are unique. Da da da. And I'm going to push mm-hmm. you to be good. But also, you're my baby. I adore you. I'm going to give you all of this love and all of this affection. And it was just heartbreaking.
Well, that
to
and
see
the
him
the
get murked.
The metaphor about the dragons, I thought was really good.
Yes,
and him basically telling her that, you know, yeah, you can go to the deaf school or you can be better. You don't need mm-hmm. the deaf school,
and she doesn't. Like she, like the teacher came over, like,
No,
you've got everything under control.
Oh no, you're good.
Fantastic.
Great. It's one of those things where she used her, you know, she turned her disability into a strength.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, let me ask you something, because obviously in the first episode and up until you see her at like karate school, you have no idea that she is also
paraplegic.
An amputee.
Paraplegic. Yeah. So that's what I was going to ask. Is the character actually a paraplegic, naturally born, or an amputee? Or is this the actress is actually...
The character is not. The actress, Alequa Cox, is an amputee in real life.
Really? I like that they made that I like that they made that into her character, because it just adds another layer.
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Because she's a badass.
I also like that they didn't. Well, she is a badass, but not because of it. And I like that they didn't make that like a defining thing about her. Like they treat it as normal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of how it should be. You should.
Right. It's
you
know, an extension of herself, and it's an extension that's just a little different than the extensions we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that little boy in karate looked at her and was like, "Oh, well, she has a prosthetic leg.
I don't want to do this.
I guess I gotta beat up this you know this handicapped girl. And right. Then he gets put on his ass.
His little face, though, he was like, "I don't want to do this."
I mean, in his defense, yeah, I'd have been like, "I mean, one, it's a little girl. She's a lot smaller than me.
Right?
And she's got like one leg. Come on, sensei."
But she had been sitting there and watching the whole time.
Yeah. And that little baby that they had playing her,
is she not the cutest baby ever?
Oh my gosh!
Those eyes, those fat cheeks.
Yes. Mm. Oh, she's
and her
so
little
cute.
Face, just her little face, just looking like. I want you.
Oh, I think she also used it to her advantage, basically knowing that people would look down on her and not expect her to have these skills.
Mm-hmm. So precious to me.
Listen.
So precious.
I don't think anybody did. And it was really funny when they're going through the fight sequence with her and Hawkeye, like, fighting each other. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to take the leg out. And she's like, you're not bothering me. And I think it clicked for him. He was like, shit. Okay, this is what we're doing. Because you, like, and I loved it because, like, you literally, you saw it on his face, like, the fuck? And obviously, like, he's not dumb. Like, he figured it out very quickly. But she's like, nah, bro, you're going to catch all these limbs, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Any ones that I can swing at you, they're getting swung.
Getting swung. Listen, he got lucky she didn't find a way to fucking weaponize those two braids she had going down her back. Because that's all that was missing.
Yeah.
Because everything else was on point. And then, you know, kind of the other thing, because we talked about the relationship that she and her father had, and I thought that it was very interesting in the scripting that they decided to have Kate talk about her dad this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that this is because I know, Manira, you especially, like, you love seeing those parallels in action.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about that? Like, after we see Maya with her dad, and then Kate sitting there talking about how brave her dad was in the center, like, what did you take from that?
I don't know if they were trying to make it this, but I picked up on Kate's luxury again. Mm-hmm. Like, she has the luxury of thinking and believing that, or being told that her father was a good man and always willing to help other people, when I don't know that that's true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like we're going to learn more parallels between her family and the tracksuit mafia, which we'll get into later because there's some shit we need to discuss there.
Yeah, and just the fact that Maya didn't have that luxury. Maya never had that luxury
She knew flat out this is what it is.
Flat out what her dad was doing, and that, you know, at some time, this is also what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, up until Ronan came and saw them, she was essentially in the family business.
Yeah, until her dad was like, this is not what I want for you. I don't want you to die like I'm dying here.
Right, fly away,
please,
little dragon.
Please don't do this. And
my
she was like,
was
you
broken.
Know what? yeah. But I just think I think that's also, you know, maybe why Maya is the way that she is. And when speaking with Kazi, and Kazi saying, you know, this isn't Uncle sanctioned, like, going after Ronan is not something that we can do. Maya's still very stern, like, no, if I made a promise to myself that if I found who was killing my father, I'm gonna,
but also,
you know, handle
and, but
it.
Also, she was like, I don't even owe you explanation. Who's
at all.
The boss?
At all.
I can't hear you.
I like that they try to, the obvious explanation she immediately caught on as, like, being bullshit. She was like, oh, so the Ronin was the Black Widow, and the Black Widow's dead now? That's convenient.
That's convenient. That's real convenient. But I want to say, like, I don't feel like we have time for this. Kate to go down a shame spiral of my father who wasn't who I thought he was and all that other stuff. I don't think we have time for that. So I feel like maybe if I'm reading Kate right, maybe she will just go with the, well, I'm just going to take what I know of my father. I don't know that side of my father. And so he died before I could see that side.
Here's the thing, though. Because I know we had talked about this previously, the idea that obviously we know mom is going to turn out to be garbage, right? Mm-hmm. And at first we were thinking, okay, what they're going to do is they kind of did a gender swap with her parents, whereas in the comics, it's her dad that's bad, you know, is kind of the guy, and the mom is coming along. And I'm wondering if what they're going to do is, no, she's the big dad.
In the comics, the mom dies, and then she comes back.
Okay. Yeah. So see, what I'm wondering if they're going to do is they're going to let us go through most of these episodes believing that the mom is just bad and she murdered the dad because she's just bad, when in reality, the dad was probably really bad and the mom wanted his power. You see what I mean? Like,
I would love that as well.
Yeah, it was a power play, but it was a power play between, you know, turd sandwich and douche, you know, like they're both bad and she just wanted more. So I think it's going to be very interesting because, Manira, to your point, we don't have time. It's six episodes.
Yeah, so there's only three episodes left.
Yeah. Right.
This one was basically all about Maya, and then there was a big chase scene in the middle. But this is like, this is basically our backdoor pilot for Echo.
And I'm all in.
Yeah.
Right, because she is getting a show, right? That's our.
Yeah, they announced it at the Disney Day last month.
Oh, she's so badass. I can't wait for it.
I know, right?
All right. Well, let's.
Also,
let's
move. This is her first role ever. She's never been in anything else.
Are you
I
serious?
Like that Disney is doing that. Yeah, Disney is doing that now. Not to mention, like, they're getting newer actors and putting them in these big roles. They did it with her. They also did it with, I forget the actress's name, that played Shang-Chi's sister. It was also her first role. So I like them
also
casting
badass.
More unknown actors.
Yeah. It's like if you give people a chance, maybe you don't need to hire the same people over and over.
Well, also, I feel like this is also just so they can be like, oh, we can get you in these long-term contracts, but also we don't have to pay you as much as Chris Pratt or some other douchey white man named Chris.
Listen, I mean, and some people might think that's fucked up, but that's how business works. Like, why am I going to pay this senior level person? It gets your foot in the door, and guess what? You finish out that contract, and your face is everywhere because it's fucking Disney.
Well, that and they do the smart thing. Yeah, they give you these fresh face actors, but then they put you in with a supporting cast that is established, like Tony Leung and what's the name? The guy who plays her father in this show, Zane McLennan. Like, he is a very established Native American actor. So you give them, you know, give them very established people to be the supporting cast to pick up the weight.
Don't worry. Give them all the merchandise and I'll buy everything.
All of it.
Because I support the ones I love.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of the ones that we love, can I just tell you that I understand they're bad guys and we've got to kill them off, but I fucking love the tracksuits.
None of them got killed. Clint is very good at disabling people without killing them. Also, that was pretty badass when he was shooting no-look arrows.
I mean, do we expect anything less?
I would say, even without the, you know, being able to hear, he's still Hawkeye.
Yeah, and like the two arrows to like pin Maya down, I was oh, and smart. Then he's like,
I like that he never killed anybody.
Yeah,
also,
he doesn't
like
wanna,
nobody,
he doesn't
wanna nobody
hurt
died.
Them.
Yeah. But he's got to slow him down.
They're not aliens; they're human beings, right? Because he's got no problem murking aliens. They're human beings, and he's done a fair share of killing already. So he's like, because let's not forget all of the tracksuits that passed along with poor Maya's dad, because he was murking them. There was
okay. So, question: do we think that was him as Ronan?
Yeah.
Okay. It had to.
Yeah,
be.
No. He fully
didn't have to
in,
be though.
He turned his grief into a weapon.
Yeah.
And decided that bad people don't need to exist because good people are no longer here.
Yep.
It was basically his ideology as Ronan.
I mean, I know that, but. He didn't, for his later comment about to Kate in like the in when they were walking in the park, and he's telling her, like, yeah, the tracksuits aren't the big bad. Like, they are behind someone else. If he knows who they're behind, and was killing all these bad people, why didn't he kill them?
Maybe he couldn't get access to him, or...
Yeah, say, some of them
Which I kind of want to get to in a second, but...
Yeah.
Or maybe the person is so big that... It's not something that he could just do on his own. Like, there would have been levels to it if he wanted to take out truly the guy that was at the top. So it's like, you know, any corporate merger acquisition where, like, we may not be able to take out the top guy, so we're going to clear out all middle management and upper middle management. And that's what he did. He basically cleaned out, and that's why poor Maya's dad died. Like, he cleaned out all
that. Or we don't know at what point. Like, he could have had the next level up on his list, and then, you know, Black Widow showed up and was like, hey, we're going to get everybody back. He's like, oh, okay, I just got back from Japan, so cool.
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know.
Yes, I think there's more to it. But the whole Imagine Dragons conversation with the tracksuit who was upset that...
But I love Imagine Dragons.
Like, I just need their energy because traditionally in the MCU, our bad guys are just... bad. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are no comedic levels to them, or we don't see them as human beings who, like, have somebody at home waiting for them that they need to do X, Y, and Z for. And so by having them come in and give us a little bit of that comedic relief, it also is showing us that, again, everybody is not all one thing.
Right.
I like that they were bummed that they had to leave the hollowed out KB Toys. You're like, oh, I just got used to this place, bro.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, no, I enjoy them. And I hope to see them in Echo's series.
Now, Eric, can I ask you a question with Kazi? Because Kazi, like, he made it a point to say, like, he's the only one that bothered to learn sign language. Is he a bigger character in the comics that I'm not aware of, or is this definitely a character for the show?
No, he's basically made for the show.
Okay. Which is good,
because in the comics, it's very hard to, like, it's hard to visualize deaf people in comics because, you know, it's a singular media and you have a picture. So, like, some people would just... flash away and they would show their you know, what they signed on screen, or some people would start like the hand motion to, like, have the artist start the hand motion, but it's a better media to have somebody as the interpreter.
He's Irish.
I agree with Kate, he's fucking hot. And you didn't think he was a cutie?
I was more so focused on Maya.
See, that's where you're wrong.
He's in henchman territory for me. He's in henchman territory.
Listen, if I could have a bunch of henchmen that look like Kazi, bring them. I'll start doing crime just to have hot henchmen. He gives off Jon Snow vibes without giving off too much Jon Snow vibes. You know what I mean? Okay. He's my type.
Scruffy English Irishman.
Yeah, basically. Yes.
Yeah, I'm into him, all right? I dig him, god damn it. All right, well... Let's because we kind of talked about it a little bit, but let's get back to Kate and Clint in this episode. And
trick arrows, that's all I cared about. So many good ones.
All the trick arrows. But also, I feel like she's got a good point. Why the fuck are these, how do you know what they all look the same? Why are they not labeled? Why do you, like, label these things?
Because he's never had to share them with anybody. Yeah, that's why.
One of those things when, like, when something is your way of doing things, you don't have to label it because you know your way of doing things.
Right. I don't have to share with you the bomb one because there's never been
another Avenger popped up. It was like, oh, this is also the bow and arrow person.
Right. It's like, just one. Natasha had her own thing. Yeah. Clint has his own thing.
She's got
arrows.
Guns and tasers, and right. He's got arrows. My gosh. Get your own thing, lady.
I think that between the trick arrows and then when Maya snatched
scene in the car is straight from the comics. Like, they really? The only
it
difference
seemed like it, yeah.
Yeah, the only difference is they didn't have the boomerang arrow that he explains earlier, like when he's showing Kate his trick arrows, and she's like, why do you have a boomerang arrow? He's like, because they come back. And he uses the boomerang arrow later in that issue, but I was hoping they would have had the boomerang arrow.
No, when she finally realized, she's like, oh, that's what the suction cup arrow is.
They replaced it with a better one. Yeah, the Pym arrow, I was like, oh, this is new. I like that, this. This is definitely
amazing. Fucking amazing. I squealed like a little girl when the arrow just expanded. So I was like, eek.
My husband was like, so did also, no one else went down the rabbit hole of, this is odd because Hank Pym is like a hoarder and never really wants anybody to touch his thing. So how'd you get that? Who gave that to you? Did he make it for you? What happened?
He probably nobody else gave went down him
that.
Some.
Nobody else went down that rabbit hole.
I did.
But I'm sure after the events of Endgame and they brought everybody back, then maybe Hank Pym might have been a little bit more appreciative of Hawkeye.
Or his daughter might have done it because, I mean, let's not act like Hope, she's not also fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And she's a lot nicer. Plus, you know, so he kind of could have gotten it from Hope.
Ant-Man
actually, that's
knows,
what I
you know,
assumed.
That he got it from Hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ant-Man also knows how useful Hawkeye can be because he helped him during Civil War. So he's got a friend in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who's going to clean up that mess? Because those things don't shrink back down after a little while. Like
nobody's
this,
cleaning up that mess.
You have a giant fucking, a literal pin drop in a bridge in New York.
It's part of the bridge now.
It's part of the bridge now. It belongs to
If he was
to
trying
bridge.
To be discreet with his help, you fucking failed right there. Everyone's going to know there's a giant arrow sticking out of the bridge.
meanwhile, the Pims are like, I don't know what you're talking about. What? We're dealing with other things over here.
There was some other guy with the shrink
with
growth.
The thing.
Right. We don't even do that anymore. What are you talking about?
I've been gone for 5 years. What are you talking about?
Right.
I think one of my favorite, I mean, and this is the thing, like, I don't think some people would look at this as a filler episode because you only have like the one big chase at the end, but it didn't feel like a filler episode. It felt like it was truly filling me in on some things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that when Maya smashes his hearing aid and now Kate has to talk, like they have to communicate, like it was funny to me. It was obviously sad when he was on the phone with Nicholas. And you could see Kate's eyes tearing
Nathaniel.
Up. Nathaniel. No, the little boy's Nicholas. Or is it Nathaniel?
He's Nathaniel because
all right, look, the cute little
she was
baby.
Pregnant with him. She was pregnant with him
right, and
in
he's Nate.
Age of
no,
Ultron.
You're right. All right, look, cute little cherub kid, okay? You know, her eyes were tearing up. You know, it was definitely emotional and she felt bad that he couldn't hear. But then, like, the rest of the time that she's, like, talking to him and he clearly doesn't know what the fuck she's saying. And then he's like, you know, we got to do such and such. You know, the dog's been cooped up. Like, all of that was so funny to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and, like, it's a good thing to call you Hawkeye and not Hawkeye, right?
He's just like, I know she's saying something out of pocket. I know she
right,
is.
Right, right. She got
just
a little smart-ass
is.
Mouth. Right.
Right.
So, like, we get all of this really great energy. They're doing the thing. They go back to the penthouse. And it was funny because I think he had the reaction that we all had when we first saw the penthouse. Like, this is a home?
What do your family do? Right. What do your parents do?
Because I feel like they own that whole building.
Well,
I feel like she does now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she said it, though. She said that, like, my great-great-grandfather built this building. So, like, that penthouse at the very bare minimum has been in the family.
I was like, a penthouse like that is one of those buildings in New York where, like, your penthouse is really, like, 2 to 3 floors in one.
You mean the Sanctum Sanctorum?
Yeah, basically.
Pretty fucking much.
What? Yeah. Dr. Strange got his own brownstone in fucking Brooklyn. I bet he could sell that shit for, like, $10 million.
He's got a brownstone stone corner. So he's got like a couple of brownstones, not a brownstone. It's insane.
The mystic arts pay well, apparently.
They really do. They are very lucrative.
But here's the thing that kind of got me. Like, they get inside. Something should clearly be suspicious to Kate as she's trying to get into the computer with her mother's password. And then all of a sudden, you don't have access. And then Jack comes out of nowhere to end the episode. And I'm like, really? This is what y'all are going to do?
As an IT person, I did think it was good that she actually locked her account out while she was trying to do other shit. I was like, yes, that's how it works. You don't get infinite tries. After like 3 or 4 tries, you get locked out and someone gets a notification that someone's trying to do some shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, Kate, Kazi's on your mom's payroll list. That's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wonder why.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the thing. The thing that got me is, And this is why when the turn happens, it's going to be devastating for her. Not even a little bit does she find it suspicious that he's in his, you know, her mom's system as an employee of somebody that she works with.
Yeah.
She's just
apparently
like, oh,
everybody needs security, whether you're good, bad, or in between. Right, Kate? Yeah, no, I as soon as she pulled his name up, I was like, all right, so red flag? Red flag?
Yeah.
My red flag would have been my mom is Vera Farmiga. That's it. love her down. But
you wake up in the morning and this is mom. Like, oh no, something bad is going on here because you shouldn't be my mom. I think that
sleeping one eye open constantly on you, lady.
Right, and this is the thing. Like, I also think that they've done a very good job in this episode, in this series, with giving us those like cliffhangers at the end of episodes. And I appreciate it because it does leave me wanting more when I can admit with the other three series, there have been episodes I was like, okay, that was a thing. We'll see what happens next week. And it wasn't a situation where it's like, oh, fuck, it's done. Now, obviously, there were a lot of episodes that were fuck, it's done. But with this series, all three episodes have been like that. Like, I cannot wait for the next one. I cannot wait for the next one. But now we got to wait for the next one. Right? So it should be interesting. I think that the only thing that we can really focus on at this point is what the fuck is going to happen with Jack? Because you're pulling swords. I'm assuming that if you knew Clint was there, you know that Kate is there. So what the fuck is really going on?
I think Jack is a placeholder for mom. That's what I think. I think Jack will... I think Jack will be holding them there until
he's very much the red herring villain.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, guys. Well, listen, that is it for this week.
Is it?
Oh, wait, you got something else?
The other
you didn't want to talk about it last week, so we're not going to talk about it this week.
No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Uncle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You didn't want to talk about it last week, so we're just going to keep it cute.
No. Last week, it was an internet rumor. This week, we actually got some breadcrumbs in the show.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. Go ahead. Talk about it.
This person might be, the internet rumor, and if it's based on the comics. Not to mention, there's also a really cool Easter egg when her dad is dying, when he puts his bloody handprint on her face. That's very much from the comics. That's how she, like, when she becomes Echo in the comics, she has the face paint, but it's a white handprint instead of bloody red. So, but I feel like that's a little on the nose when it comes to Native American characters. Mm-hmm. So I like that they at least acknowledged it in the show, but don't do it as her costume.
Right.
But also, Uncle is clearly Wilson
Kingpin.
Fisk.
The Kingpin.
Yep.
They mention him a couple times. And they keep mentioning him as like this person who is above us. Do we need to talk to Uncle?
Well, and we saw his hand because remember Uncle picked her up from karate and it was a very nice suit. With a hand.
A large man in a
He
nice
walked
suit.
In very heavy, heavy-footed.
Well, in the comics, he is the one that kills her father. But her father basically makes him promise to raise her and protect her. And he takes her on. That's why she becomes his adoptive daughter.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, the Kingpin I can understand if they bring him in. The internet rumor is that it's going to be Wilson D'Onofrio from the Daredevil version.
It's William D'Onofrio.
William, yes. I don't know. I keep thinking Wilson Fisk. But also people are saying the rumor is that that Matthew Cox will return as Daredevil in No Way Home. So if they, I feel like if they want to bring these characters in, then they're just going to be completely erasing the Netflix shows. Mm-hmm. But kind of like they did with J. Jonah Jameson, where they're bringing him from another dimension, but they're playing the same characters.
Yeah. Listen, I'm here for it. But if I can be honest, I really don't want Kingpin to be the big bad here. I still want it to be her mama. Like, let's just keep it there. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, we know what her mom. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but her mom ain't what she says she is. But I feel like if they keep teasing the Kingpin, don't actually show him, just like tease him a couple more times and then have him be a big fish later on. If they do a second season of Hawkeye, or if they start doing some of the, like, give him to the Young Avengers that they're clearly setting up.
Yep.
Or he could be shown in Echo's series.
I feel like we might see more of him in that. Well, if they don't cast D'Onofrio And, you know, they show a lot more of her childhood growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who would they? You know what? Nope. We don't have time for that today to go down the who should be cast as D'Onofrio. But let's think about that. And for our listeners, you tell us, you know, send us some comments, send us some feedback. You can do that to concentratedpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can do that through our Facebook page, which is Concentrated Podcast. Let us know who you guys think should be cast as Kingpin if it's not D'Onofrio. Although I think everybody's betting that it will be. But with Disney, you never know.
I love D'Onofrio in the role. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that is very much to the Netflix shows.
Right.
Kind of like right. how, what's the name from Green Mile was the Daredevil movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do know who you're talking about, although John I can't Coffey. Think of his name. Yeah.
I can't write at the same time, and we share a birthday.
Keep talking. What I'm saying is, like you're doing right now, because like,
do like with Maya and cast a new person.
Right, because Mahershala Ali was in Luke Cage, and now
Michael
we're
Clark
get,
Duncan.
Michael, yes, Clark, Michael Duncan, Clark Duncan, yes.
And now we're getting him
I mean, there
as
was a
Blade.
Michael in there somewhere.
You know what I mean? He can't be Cottonmouth and Blade, so clearly we're either getting, if we saw that character again, it would be a new character, whatever. But yeah, exactly.
Well, what's her name also played, she played Mariah Stokes, but she was also a character in Civil War, completely different character.
Right. Mm-hmm. She was the mom that shamed Tony into
doing
all that nonsense.
That white man guilt that he took too far.
So, I mean, look, let's hope that's the case. And like I said, listeners, let us know who you think it should be. Also, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram for information about episodes drops across all of our shows. Our handle on both is @concentratedpod. And then if you want to really get into your theories on the next Hawkeye, you can leave us a voicemail. That number is going to be 301-531-4393. Again, that's 301-531-4393. 4393. Guys, as always, we want to thank you for listening and thank you for supporting. And with that, we will talk to you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Excelsior. There you go.
There's the energy.
Welcome back.
Right. Till next time, guys.
Peace.